Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has great things ahead for those who love him, those who walk in his way. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. But those who were wise had a great future ahead of them. And the bridegroom came at a time people wasn't looking for. But those that were looking for him were ready to go with him. This is the hour of that parable. These are the days where we're waiting on the Lord to return. And he will return. And he will be a blessing to those who are looking for him. And he has great mercy on those who were not looking for him. But he also has to judge the proud wickedness of man. And he will. And his will be done. And sin will be completely finished. Jesus is going to drive sin out of the earth and everything that's attached to it. In the beginning, the Lord put two trees in the midst of the garden. These two trees represented, one represented life, one represented the way of death. We have to choose the life of God. It's down to your choice. Which way will you go? Now, as a preacher's always trying to warn people and help them understand so they can get saved, so that they can live forever with us. The Lord anoints us to preach his word, to do precisely that, to help people come out of this elusive world. The world is full of illusion. It's hard to just walk away from it because you've learned it. You trust it. It's wrong, but that's what happened. People trust the world system. And the Lord spoke to me in 1989. He said, he gave me a vision. He said, let not my people lack knowledge. And I didn't know how in the world I could come close to not letting his people lack knowledge. It seemed overwhelming to me, but he said it. And I wanted to obey him. I wanted to do this. But I didn't know that he would help me do it. He gave me the anointing. When God anoints a person, we use that term anointing all the time. What is the anointing? Well, after many years, I thought about that. I said, I always took for granted that I knew the answer or the definition of the meaning anointing. And one day, when the Lord was showing me other definitions that I thought I knew, I said, Lord, what is the anointing? What's your definition of the anointing? He said, it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So there are many, some are anointed to heal. And even though it can be beyond their faith, they can heal because they are anointed. They can lay hands on people. And people that do receive their anointing to heal, they find out that they have more success in certain areas than others. They are gifts of healing. So when you are anointed, you have God's. It's not just down to you. God is with you. See, that's one of Jesus' names, Emmanuel. We don't serve a dead God like other religions do. I'm not picking on people's belief systems. But see, it's not fair for people to trust something and devote their life to it in the name of God and then die out of bounds. I understand that people believe different. I'm not accusing people of believing like they believe. They were taught that way. And see, when you're taught a certain way, it's hard to undo it. I have great mercy on people. That's why I just shock people with the truth sometimes. When people go to hell, and they could have went to heaven, they say, why didn't anybody tell me? See, the things of this world are designed to keep you down. It's designed to hold you back. And it's designed to stop you in your tracks. But I love people. And I get people all the time. They say, well, what about people that believe different? All right, why don't you get saved and do something about it? God can anoint you to do something about it. And he can even bless you to bless millions of people in one day. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. You have to start following God. When people get saved and come to the Lord, they come out of bondage. They come with a logic. They were taught something. And they trust something. Everybody has this in common. We all trust something. We have a truster and we do trust something. And some of it's just wrong. And we have to learn things. We have to unlearn things. See, if Adam didn't eat off that tree, he would have avoided deception and all that goes with it. See, the way you kill sin is just like the snake. You cut it off at the head and you won't be bothered with it anymore. Same thing with deception. Same thing with false religion, false traditions, and so on and so forth. But how in the world can you unlearn something that you trust? You have to have more light. That's the only way. And God loves us so much. See, when we preach the gospel about Jesus, we're talking about the divine love of God that's not from around here. There's nothing in the world better than a man laying down his life for his friends. When Adam sinned, God could have walked away. He had every right to, and heaven knew it. And some people probably thought he would, some angels. But no, Adam was hiding from him, just like people do, just like I did, just like you do, or once did. We all had that in common. We ran because we didn't understand. And then he sold fig leaves together. See, if you got to hide, you're wrong. Anytime you got to hide, you're already wrong. Anything, when you got to hide, what you're doing, you're wrong. It's just the way it is. You don't want to get caught because you know it ain't right. And it's going to hurt somebody. You're sneaking around doing something and you know if you got to hide, you're already wrong. But in God's house, we don't have to hide anymore. We have been introduced to his kind of love. And his kind of love is outstanding. Jesus Christ was God. He was the Word of God. And he became a man so he could legally redeem you and me and everybody on the earth. Everybody, from Adam to the last man born. He died for Hitler. He died for Mussolini. He died for every person born. They just went the wrong way. Now, when a man gets saved, the newness of God's life starts forming in him. Salvation begins with him believing on Jesus. And then it's up to him to learn the principles and God's ways and how God truly is. Not what the world say God is, but how God really is. And when that happens, the knowledge of Christ is formed in them, and it awakens the creativity that God already put in them. See? And people don't know. I'm sorry people don't preach like this and explain things. People got good sense. They can judge. Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So every person in their right mind, they can, if there's nothing wrong with their mind, they can judge right and wrong. And if it is something wrong with their mind, God will cover them, just like a child. Children can't judge their right, you know, they don't know their right from their right hand from their left until you teach them. They don't know right and wrong. That God judges them. They will go to heaven. They're in the kingdom of God. Their spirit is lit. That's why children can say profound things. Their spirit's still lit. But when they get to the point they know that sin is sin, that's when they're required. They're judged differently once they know better. And Satan is trying to take advantage of our children. He's trying to get them to choose against God at earlier and earlier ages, to take them to hell. And there's no certain age of accountability. It depends on the person and what they understand. I remember when I was an adolescent, the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're on your own now." I remember that. I'll never forget that. It's one of the first times I ever remember God talking to me. And I knew what I had to do, but I still didn't get saved. And I really did. I didn't even realize it was God, but I understood and I heard. Looking back on it, I know it was God. When you're disconnected from him, you're not used to his voice. We're trying to get people reconnected with the living God that's going to help you. See, I love every person. I love Muslims. I love Buddhists. I love Japanese people, Chinese people, Russian people, American people. And I said, "Lord, take my life and do something with it." I preach according to his word, his guidance. You can't lie to people. I don't lie to people. All the false religions are going to get you in trouble. But introducing you to the truth will help you live. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Tell everybody you know about the website. These broadcasts are free. And I teach this God, give me his wisdom and knowledge. Whatever he put on my heart comes out of my mouth. And I earnestly try with all my heart not to make mistakes. But in him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm not just doing these things just to be doing it. I love God's people. Every soul is very precious to God. The people that agree with me and the people that don't. I still love you if you don't agree with me. I know I make people mad, and I'm trying to make you mad. I'm trying to get you to understand the love of God towards you. I don't want you dying and missing out on what I found to be glorious. I've been to hell before. I've seen the presence. I've been in the presence of God. I've seen his knowledge and wisdom as he reveals it to me, and it's beautiful. I've seen visions of what it's going to be like. And I don't want you, there's no reason for you to miss out because the devil lied to you. Now, every time a person gets saved and they get on God's track, they get on the right track. Now they can learn. You're going to have to make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of decisions in the course of your life. Now, what if you got saved and started learning God's ways and start walking in his wisdom? And started understanding the knowledge and wisdom of God according to the love of God. All those decisions that you will be making can be better. Your advice can be pure and not hard-hearted advice, not demonic advice, not deceived advice, but God's ways. You will learn to trust and appreciate the wisdom of God. And it's breathtaking. You'll say, "Whoa, I didn't see that before." And you'll value it. Now, people reject what they don't value. They don't receive what they don't value. That's why people don't run to church to learn. They're not trying because they don't value. If you give a nice pearl to a pig, he's gonna lose it in the mud. It's not corn to him. He only wants corn and bugs and things he can chunk. He cares nothing about diamonds, pearls, silver, and gold. He doesn't know he can trade it for all the food he could ever desire. So he'll trample it in the mud. Salvation is no different. People that are unlearned and don't know God's word and never experienced the life of God before, they don't know what they're throwing away. If you give $100,000 to a dog, he'll probably play with it, chew on it, tear it up, and he'll want a biscuit or something he can eat, a dog bone. That's valuable to a dog. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all the things that go with it. That's valuable to the world system. Working your way to heaven is valuable in the world system. Salvation through Christ, it not only gives you life, but it provokes your pride. Proud men will not value the things of God. You have to say something's wrong with me, and I need God's help. And deep down, you know it's true. If there was nothing wrong, you wouldn't die. If you got to die, something's wrong. Everybody you know will perish, will die one day. Everybody you're familiar with will be gone. A new generation will arise. If there was nothing wrong, we wouldn't die. Our world wouldn't look like trash in certain places. People would treat people right. If we knew what we were doing. And I know some places in the world are beautiful. But when a millionaire blows his brains out, something's wrong. When children get on drugs and they know it's going to kill them, something's wrong. When people try to live and their life don't work and they can't get it right and they can't figure it out, something is bad wrong. Did your life turn out the way you planned it? Do you have any hope to continue to plan it? Through Christ, you can learn how this world works and you can learn what to do. And you can live better. And you don't have to go through life miserable anymore. And the enemy that's trying to keep you from understanding who God is, there is an enemy. Your deception is not an accident, it's an attack. Every religion, hear me good, every false religion that tries to get people to go to heaven in their pride, around God. The reason they don't trust Christ is because of pride. And they love the world. If you love, you can't value God's way and Satan's way at the same time. You're gonna have to make a choice. If you love the world system, which is Satan directed, if you love the world system, you're gonna hate the ways of God. If you love the ways of God, you're gonna hate the ways of Satan. You come to the Lord as you are. If you have a love for God, you'll start unloving the world. When you have salvation, the things you once hated, you now love. The things you once loved, you now hate. If you try to go to the club and slow dance and do all the things that people do and get drunk and carouse around, you're not going to have a love for that anymore the way you once did. And you'll start desiring a relationship that has more meaning and purpose than just pleasure. If you try to pleasure yourself at other people's expense, it's going to torture you. It's going to torture them. It's not working. It's going to give your children instability. It's a lifestyle that cannot work ever. If you get drunk and wake up in the ditch, something's wrong. God, you're made in God's image. You were designed to do better than that. It's not funny. If somebody got to bring you home to your wife in a wheelbarrow, that's not fun. You're made in God's image. You have no business being brought home in a wheelbarrow. Because you passed out and they can't carry you. But the love of God changes people. I said before, you're going to make hundreds of thousands of decisions in the course of your life. People don't think about this that way. If you're corrected by God, your advice, all the advice you're going to give can be better. All the relationships that you had, your friends, your family, your wife, everybody that you were involved with will have heard the wisdom of God when they needed it the most. And there are people that would not, that you would have helped, and they would not have committed suicide. They will have avoided drugs. They will have had better advice and married the appropriate person for them. You wouldn't have talked them out of marrying their best choice. See, when people in the world, the enemy pull their strings and they say anything. You would have voted better. You wouldn't have been seduced by the world system. Your vote would be better. Your speech would be better. The logic of God would be in your mind. In your mind. Coming out of your mouth. And it would have been a blessing. See, the course of your life, if you look at it, you're either going to be a disaster or a blessing. Jesus makes the difference. Not just getting saved, but learning who he is. Scripture, there are some scriptures that talk about those that go on to know the Lord. See, when a man gets saved, he's back at the zero line. If you look at a graph, you got the positive numbers, the zero line, then the negative numbers. Well, Jesus brought you up to the zero line. If you take time and learn his word, your life starts growing positive. If Christ is, as Christ is formed in you, you become more and more valuable, not only to God, but man. And you won't give bad advice. You'll give good advice. You won't be a problem. You'll be the answer. Your life will be transformed. And the Lord will do things to give you a boost. You'll have dreams and visions, songs in the night. Whatever God put in you as a gift, will arise. To serve, not for your pride. We don't do things out of pride. Not in God's house. Remember that movie, The Black Panther? When they were going to meet and one of the guys bowed down, he said, "We don't do that here." In God's house, there's no pride. We don't have pride here. We serve mankind. And see, his cousin wanted to take over and kill, steal, and destroy. And he wouldn't let that wicked man be the king. He loved him, but he was not letting him be the king. He came back and took what God gave him. I like to use things people can relate to. And the movie is not perfect. You know, that's not a perfect example of what God is doing, but the example stands. We don't have pride here. We serve each other. We bless each other. We seek to be a blessing. You become reasonable instead of unreasonable. And some people marry the wife of their dreams, but with sin in their life, they destroy their marriage. And then she's out of his life, divorced, gone with somebody else, and then have children with somebody else. Now Satan's torturing that man. His sin did this. Nobody helped him that he knew avoid this sin. Nobody told him it could be so bad. Now he wants to stay drunk so he can forget about what he once had. Now he know he was foolish. But there was a time he didn't think he needed God. Now he's crying. He's all messed up. And life don't have to get to that point. And for many people, it does. Only God can help you get up from that. And he will. But you still tore your life up. And some things you won't get back. But God is the God of restoration. One good thing about it, we're complete in Christ. We don't need people to be complete. But we don't have to ruin good relationships. We all want good relationships. See, with Christ, you don't need a wife. You don't need a husband. You don't need all these people to make you complete. But because you're complete in Him, you can be valuable to them. And you can be valuable to yourself. And you can enjoy what you have. Some rich people blow their brains out, jump off buildings because of the pressure of this life. And the money can't ever satisfy them. And they can't enjoy what they have. They can go buy a brand new car. They can take a vacation and start thinking. They can read one of those Gideon Bibles in the hotel when they go there. Before you blow your brains out, just go on vacation. If you're rich and you got to, just go on vacation and think a bit. And read one of them Gideon Bibles in the hotel room. And let God bring you back to balance. Before you give up, if you want to take your life, stop, just pause. Just, you can always kill yourself. Just pause on that. Because you don't get a redo if you pull that trigger or if you jump off that bridge. Now go take God and His word and see for yourself if it works. You've heard that it don't. The world said it don't. And you've done something awful and you're embarrassed. Now take it to the Lord. If you were going to kill yourself, you might as well try Jesus first. You have nothing else to lose. And see what He can do with your life. You got to give Him a chance. You got to trust Him with your life. You trusted the world and it failed. Now trust Him. You were depressed too many days. You don't know how to snap out of it. Start studying the Word. And start praying. If you don't ask God for help, how are you going to get the help you want? Another thing that happens when we receive God's word, we won't reject what God is trying to give us. People reject God and don't know what they're throwing away because they can't value it because they value something wrong. You can't value God if you value this world system. It's an opposite system. And the logic of, even if you learn something wrong or learn something the wrong way and trust it, when it's time, it will interfere with how you, it will interfere with how you learn the right thing. Even Christians get off track. Last week I talked about how me and my dad, we didn't agree. There were things, he was a man of God. And I became a man of God, and there were things we didn't agree on. But we loved each other. He was taught a certain way, and he stuck with it. If he wasn't taught a certain way, he would have agreed. But he didn't say that what I was doing was wrong. He just thought it wasn't necessary because that's the way he was taught, and he stuck with how he was taught. But he was a wonderful man of God, and I learned from him. Lester Sumrall said that people, they learn, and they try to stay in a certain, it's like the Methodist church. He was a Methodist pastor. He said, when John Wesley taught people the word of God, they received light, and they stayed in that light. There was more to learn, but they stayed there. In that light. And then when more knowledge comes, either they'll receive it and do even better, or they'll stay where they were at, and they stay where they were at. It was the Methodist church that introduced the Pentecostal church. A lot of people don't know that. He had people to pray for the second blessing, and they started, and some of them started speaking in tongues. And then they said, well, hey, this is good. And the ones that spoke in tongues tried to get other people to do it because it was a blessing. They felt the presence of God. And Acts, the book of Acts was more real to them. But they stayed in the way that they were used to. And the church split. And the Church of God in Christ came about. Pentecostal churches. And every time people disagree, they split. That don't have to happen. We can go forward in the Lord. The problem with organized religion, they try to stick to a certain protocol, but you can't box God in that way. It's not good. it's better to continue learning His ways and His word. There are so many things we haven't come to knowledge of yet. There are abilities we have that we don't realize. And the Lord will introduce it through people who will just yield to Him and keep praying and keep obeying. If you believe on Jesus Christ today and you keep yielding yourself to Him, the Lord will introduce you to things that sometimes nobody have ever heard before. But it's been in the scriptures all along, just nobody ever saw it. And He usually introduced things through one person, not organizations. Organizations are wonderful. They're made of people, but people, if you try to structure God a certain way and that's all, you limit Him, then you're not going to change the truth. Jesus is Lord. You're not going to come up with a new doctrine. You're just going to reveal what's already there that people missed. They just didn't see it. And it's valuable. Don't let the things that you've learned hinder you from going forward in the Lord. As Christ is formed in you, you're going to do better and greater.